All right, Jabo said, good morning. Let's begin today's daf is Yud Tes. We are picking up on Yud Ches Amud Beis right at the Gemara. We ended off with the Mishnah yesterday. Our shiur this morning is dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. David Flum in the Zechus of Refuah Shalema for a young girl who is battling cancer, Eliana Bas Elisheva. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she together with Kol Choli Yisrael will have a complete and enduring Refuah. And of course, we dedicate our learning to our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, undergoing this latest round of violence, already four lives lost since Shabbos. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu will give our soldiers much hatzlacha and restore peace and calm to our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. And with that, let's begin. So we left off again at the Gemara. So remember again, the Mishnah that we had just mentioned, or that we mentioned yesterday, was the Mishnah of two sheep which had given birth. So remember again, neither of them had given birth before, and the Mishnah then discussed all the different variations. The Mishnah then spoke about a different case of two sheep, one which had given birth before, one which had not given birth before, and again, those variations as well. When you put those two cases of that Mishnah together with the previous Mishnah, remember again, in the previous Mishnah, we had a situation of one sheep, which had never given birth before, which gave birth to two sheep. So the Gemara, so the principles employed by all of these Mishnayos are the same, which then leads the Gemara to really ponder one simple fundamental question, which is, why do I need all of these particular cases? Utsricha. The Gemara says, we need all of them, and I'll tell you why. Diashmo inan kamaisa, because had the Gemara just mentioned the first Mishnah of one sheep giving birth to two offspring, bahi kamar Rabbi Akiva, it's only in that case that Rabbi Akiva holds his position, that the Kohen takes the weaker of the two offspring. Why? Detre mechada. Because ultimately, again, you have two sheep, two offspring coming from the same mother. Aval rechiliv shelo bichru. But in the case of our Mishnah over here, of two sheep, which had never given birth before, detre mechada vechad mechada, eda movdile the Rabbi Tarfon, the hach de yalda, chad shviach tvei. Maybe in this case over here, where it's two sheep ultimately again that are giving birth, maybe Rabbi Akiva would agree with Rabbi Tarfon that the Bechar in fact is the stronger of the animals, and that's the one which should be given to the Kohen. V'yash mu'inan ha. And if the Gemara would have only mentioned our current Mishnah now, Bahakam Rabbi Akiva de Tavai lo bichru. It's in this situation that Rabbi Akiva holds his position, because ultimately both of them had never given birth before. Aval achos bichra, va'achos shalo bichra. But in the case ultimately again, which is the second section of our Mishnah, where one had given birth, one had never given birth, v'yoldu shnei zecharin, and there were two male offspring born, ema modile Rabbi Tarfon. Perhaps he would agree with Rabbi Tarfon, top of Yotes, da'ach lo bichra shviach tvei, that the one who had never given birth before, bipashtus ultimately what? Would have a child that was of greater vitality, and that should be given to the Kohen. Therefore, Tzvicha. Therefore, so all the cases are necessary to teach us the respective Shitos of Rabbi Akiva, as well as the Tanakam and Rabbi Tarfon. And therefore, again, each of the cases, you would not have been able to learn out one case from the other, and therefore, ultimately, all are necessary. Good. Says the Mishnah. Yotzei Dofen. Rabbi, another interesting case now. Speaking about the halachos of Bechar, so the Mishnah says, what happens if the firstborn animal is not born naturally, but instead is what they call a yotzei dofen, cesarean, a C-section. So yotzei dofen vaba acharav. So we'll say, what happens if the firstborn animal is a yotzei dofen, a cesarean, and then there is a second animal born after it? Look at Rashi. Yotzei dofen, Bechor sheyotze derech dofen, haba acharav Bechor. So it's a very interesting situation. Let's say you have the sheep, has the yotzei dofen, has a cesarean section, a C-section, and then what happens? Then there is a zachar, there is another male animal born afterwards, and is born naturally. So we'll say, the question is, what is the status of the second animal? Rabbi Tarfon Omer, so Rabbi Tarfon says, Shnehem yiru ad sheyistavu. Rabbi Tarfon says, we let both of those animals go ahead and graze until they develop a mum. V'yochlu b'mumon l'baylim. And then ultimately, again, they can be consumed by the owners after they go ahead and develop a mum. Rabbi Kiva on Rabbi Kiva says, so look at Rashi just a moment, Shneim Yiru, the Safik Bacharhein, the Mesafkli, the Rabbi Tafan Bachar Ladavar Echad, Ihavi Bachari Lahavi Bachar. So we're going to explain this in just a moment. But essentially, Rabbi Tafan says in this case, where the first Zachar which was born was a cesarean section, and the second one was a natural birth. Rabbi Tafan is Mesupak about which one is a Bachar. Because he's Mesupak about which, we already know the process for dealing with a Safik Bachar, which is what? You allow it to graze until it develops a mum. Then once it develops a mum, it becomes permitted for consumption by the owner. Rabbi Kiva says, no, Shnehem Einan Bechor. Neither of these two animals is a Bechor. Why not? Harishon Mipnei She'eno Petarechem. The first one is not a Bechor because it did not open the womb of the mother. It was a C-section. Vasheni, and the second one is not a Bechor. Why? Mipnei Shekadmo Acher. Simply put, because ultimately, again, it was not the first animal which was born. Right? There was, so we'll say, so what Rashi, and this is what Rashi points out over here. The fundamental Machlux in Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon is the definition of a Bechor. Do you need a Bechor? Is it enough to be a Bechor L'davar Echad? Or do you need to be a Bechor L'shnei Dvarim? So Rabbi Akiva, for example, holds that in order to be a Bechor, you need to be a Bechor L'shnei Dvarim. Shnei Dvarim means, number one, you are the firstborn animal. Number two, it is a natural birth, a Peter Rechem. If the Bechor is missing either one of those two criteria, he is not the Bechor. Rabbi Tarfon is of the opinion that maybe Bechor L'davar Echad is enough. It's maybe. He's Mesupak. Maybe Bechor L'davar Echad is enough. Therefore, again, maybe it's enough to be born first, even if it's not Peter Rechem. And maybe it's enough to be a Peter Rechem, even if you're not born first. Therefore, Rabbi Tarfon will say that both of the animals are a Safek Bechor, and therefore you allow them to graze until they develop a mum, and then they are permitted for consumption. So we'll say, so you sow the stick, fundamental machlokes, as to the definition of a Bechor. Again, one more time. Do you need to be a Bechor L'shnei Dvarim? That's Rabbi Akiva's Shita. Or even a Bechor L'davar Echad, Rabbi Tarfon's Shita. So by my pligis, what are they arguing about? Rabbi Tarfon, Misapkile Bechor L'davar Echad. Ihave Bechor, Ilohave Bechor. So here we go, the Gemara spells it out. So what are they arguing about? Rabbi Tarfon is of the opinion, or is Misupak. Remember again, Rabbi Tarfon is not ruling definitively. Rabbi Tarfon has a Safek. Is it enough to be a Bechor L'davar Echad? If you just have one Bechor quality, either you were born first, or you are the Peter Rechem, so he was Mesupak whether or not, Rabbi Tarfon is either Bechor L'davar Echad, you have Bechor, you have Bechor. Rabbi Akiva, Pshitale. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, has no Safek. For him it is Pashit, that Bechor L'davar Echad, lo have Bechor. But so he is of the opinion that ultimately what? A Bechor L'davar Echad. Just possessing one Bechor quality is not enough. According to Rabbi Akiva, the definition of a Bechor is by definition an animal that is both a Peter Rechem as well as the firstborn. You have to be firstborn and Peter Rechem to ultimately be a Bechor. So we'll say, so just so you know, well, actually we'll see. Ten Rabbanon. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ten Rabbanon. Michlal Hatzarech Leprat or Miprat Hatzarech Leklal. Ketzar. So let's listen to this case. The Gemara is now darshaning a little bit of klal and prat. So watch this. Michlal atzarech leprat. So sometimes you have a general principle that requires a specification to highlight what the general principle is. And sometimes, miprat atzarech leklal. Ketzar, what does this mean? Here we go. Kadesh li kol bechor. The pasuk says, sanctify for me every bechor, every firstborn animal. Yachol afilu nekeva. I might have thought that it applies even to what? Even to a female animal, b'mashma. So I might have thought, even right, kadeshli kal b'char. Well, so how do I know it only applies to male animals? Maybe it applies to female animals as well. Talmud lomar zachar. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says zachar, right, teaching me that the halachos of b'char only apply to a male animal. E zachar, if it would have just said male animal, yachal afilu yaseh sani keva lefanav. That was is very interesting. If it would have just said zachar, I would have thought that the halachos of Bechor apply even to a zachar which was preceded by an akeva. In other words, maybe the din Bechor means what Rabbi say, the firstborn male animal. But if there was an akeva born before it, that still could be a Bechor. Tamud lomar, peter rechem. Therefore, the pasuk says petarechem. It has to be the opening of the womb, i.e., the first animal that is born. I petarechem. So I might have thought with the pasuk says petarechem. Yochel afilu yotze acher yotze dofen. So okay. So from petarechem, I would have thought what if there was a previous animal which was born how cesarean section, a C-section, which is not a petarechem. I would have thought that does not take away from the next animal, which is a petarechem, from bringing the bechor. Talmud lomar bechor. Therefore, the pasuk says bechor. So interestingly enough, from this three-pronged limud of bechor, petarechem, zochar, we arrive ultimately again at Rabbi Akiva's shita, which means that what? You must be a bechor, essentially the shnei dvarim. It's really the shlosha dvarim, but we're, right, the shlosha dvarim are, number one, bechor only applies to male animal, that's number one. Number two, it is the first animal that is born, right, first animal that is born. And number three, it must be petarechem. If you possess these three qualities, then ultimately you are a bechor. But if you are missing any one of them, ultimately, again, bechor status does not apply. So says the Gemara, Amar li Rav Sharbia la Abaye. So Rav Sharbia said to Abaye, Reisha lo kanasiv la tamuda bechor. It's interestingly enough, in the first case of the Breisa, we didn't darshan the word bechor. Amo. Bechor le davar echad havi bechor. So I say we could learn out for just looking at the beginning of this brisa. I would have thought that a bechor le davar echad, right? Even a bechor that only possesses one quality, this ultimately again would be enough to qualify you as a bechor. Seifa kanasit la tamud bechor. Yet interestingly enough, at the end of the brisa, the Gemara does bring up the drasha of bechor. Alma bechor le davar echad lo havi bechor. And I will say, what do I see from there? I see from there that halacha lemaisa, a bechor possessing only one quality, is not a bechor. So the Gemara is pointing out over here that from the two parts of the brisa I have contradictory inferences. Amarle, v'olam bechor ledavar echad lo havi bechor, to which the Gemara says, in reality, a bechor which only possesses one quality is not a bechor. V'reishachi kamar. This is what the beginning of the brisa means to say. Izachar. If ultimately, again, the pasuk would have just said zachar, yachal afilu yotzei dofen. I would have thought, Rabbi, say that in order to be a bechor, the qualification is that you are a firstborn male. Even if what? Even if you're yotzei dofen, right? Even if it's a C-section. Tamud lomar petarechem. Therefore, the pasuk says petarechem to teach me that what? That halacha lemaisa, it is only ultimately, again, if it's a natural birth, that it is a bechor. Ravina says the olam bechor ledavar echad havi bechor. Bosei Ravina disagrees, and Ravina holds that in reality a bechor ledavar echad is in fact a bechor. The seifa hachi kamar. This is what the seifa means to say. Seifa hachi kamar islagadaitcha yotze achar yotze dofen kadosh. If you would have thought that an animal that is born after a previous animal which was born cesarean section is considered to be kadosh, meaning is bechor. Bechor de kasev rachmana lamali. Then why do I need the pasuk to say bechor at all? Amud beis. Either meute hechad diyotze sane keva lefanav. Say if you want to tell me that it comes to exclude the case of what? Of where the firstborn animal was a female. So the Gemara says me petarechem nafka. I can learn that out from the phrase petarechem. Elishma mina bechor lemeute hechad diyotze achar yotze dofen. Rather, again, what do you see? That the word bechor comes to exclude what? An animal that comes out after a cesarean section. That even though, again, that C-section animal is not the petarechem, by definition, it takes away the status of the bechor from the animal which follows. Amri Ravacham Yedifti the Ravina. So Ravacham Yedifti said to Ravina, Isagadaitcha bechor ledavar echad havi bechor. If you want to think that a bechor ledavar echad is in fact a bechor, the Rabbos say again, remember, all you need to be is either what? Is either petarechem or the firstborn animal. In other words, I don't need both, either firstborn or petarechem, to which the Gemara says, Teinach hechad diyatza zachar yotzei dofen v'zachar derech rechem delo kadosh de'imat leida mi bechor. Right? So Rabbos say, so I would have thought like this. If you hold that bechor ledavar echad is havi bechor, then Rabbos say, the problematic case, or the interesting case would be, where the first Zachar was born, cesarean section, and the second Zachar was born naturally. Then I would have thought, the Lo Kaddish, Then Rabbi said that second bechor ultimately is not kaddish. Why? The imat leida mi bechor. The bechor l'rachamim ika. Bechor the zcharim leka. Because ultimately, again, that second bechor is the petarachem, but he's not the firstborn male. Elahecha diyotasa nekeva derech dofen. But where the nekeva was born first. I'm sorry, where the nekeva, right, the nekeva was born first, but was born cesarean section. V'zachar derech rechem. But the zachar was then subsequently born, it was born naturally. Likdash. I would have said in that case, the zachar should be kaddish as a bechor. Da'ika bechor l'scharim. Because ultimately, again, in that case, what? Halacha l'maisa. It would be a bechor l'scharim, firstborn male, and also a petarechem, to which the Gemara says, Ela nechavarta kida Abaye. Rather, the Gemara says, rather we go back to the original drasha of Abaye, which was the drasha, the three-pronged drasha that we made at the beginning of the Gemara. So both say, bottom line, halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? A fundamental yisodistic machlokes. As to what qualities are necessary to go ahead and create a bechor. Or in other words, the way the Gemara phrases it, even though the Gemara phrases it as a bechor ledavar echad, or bechor leshnei dvarim, that's because the Gemara is removing one of the qualities from the discussion because everyone agrees on it, which is, it has to be a zachar, right? The din of bechor only applies to firstborn male animals. So let's remove that. Then the fundamental machlokus becomes, is it enough to be a bechor ledavar echad or the shnei dvarim? Rabbi Akiva says, in order to be a bechor, you must satisfy two qualifications. Number one, it must be the firstborn animal. No other animal could have been born to this mother, either naturally or through C-section. And number two, it must be a petarechem. So that's Rabbi Akiva. You need both. Or according to Rabbi Tarfon, one is enough. How do we paskin? So both says Shulchan Aruch paskins. This is in Simen Shin Tes Vav Sif Beis Yotzei Dofen Vishenolad Acher of Derech Rechem Shnehem Einam Bechar. So both say the halacha is that if an animal has a C-section and then subsequently a male animal gives birth to a male animal C-section and then subsequently gives birth naturally, Shnehem Einam Bechar. Neither of those animals are a Bechar. Afilu Yolden Akeva Tchila Derech Dofen V'Zachar Derech Acherel Derech Rechem Kevon Shekedmu Echa Bechar Shutu. Oh, fine. So both say so halacha l'maisri paskin like Rabbi Akiva that in order to be a Bechar you must be a Bechar the Shnei Dvarim. It must be the first animal born to the mother, and it must be petarecha, must be a natural birth. If either of those qualities are missing, then halacha l'maaseh, the subsequent birth is not a bechor. Good. Hadron alach halokeach ubar paras. So, vasai mazel tov. Next parak. Halokeach, and very, very interesting discussion here. Halokeach beim amina ovid kochavim. So, we'll say now, an interesting case, still continuing with bechor behemoth. So, by the way, we'll get into the interesting discussions. This case also has, of course, ramifications. What we just learned over the Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, has ramifications not just for Bechor Behemoth Me'ah, Bechor Behemoth Torah, but also for people, right? For Bechor Adam. So we'll get into this also about C-sections, natural births for Bechor Adam as well. We'll discuss all of this. Halokeach Behemoth Ovichon, we'll say next case, or new Mishnah, I should say. If one goes ahead and purchases a behemoth from an Ovid Kochavim, so we'll say it's a fascinating case. I purchase an animal from Ovid Kochavim. What don't I know? Ve'in yodea im bichra, im lo bichra. We'll say, this is very interesting, right? I guess like there's no like CarMax report, you know, for animals. You know, how many miles, what's this? I don't know, did it give birth, did it not give birth? And I'm also going to understand, this is a major issue. Because now I need to know what's the status of the offspring of the animal. So what happens? So what do I do? Well, this is actually quite interesting. So what Rabbi Shmuel says, everything depends on how old the animal is. So Rabbi Shmuel says as follows. Eiz bas shnosa, vaday lekoin. If I bought a goat and it's within a year, then ultimately, again, any offspring that it gives birth to, in other words, I buy it within a year, so then when it gives birth, that offspring is definitely a bechor. Mikan ve'elech safek. But if I bought a goat any earlier, any later than a year, then ultimately, again, it's a safek. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Eiz bas shnasa, sheyalda besoch shnasa. So in other words, if I bought a goat and it's less than a year old, Vadai osa valakoin. The kodim lachin lo yal. So apparently, again, a goat within the first year doesn't give birth. So therefore, if I buy a goat that is less than a year old, so anything that it gives birth to, I know is the first birth, and therefore, again, it is vadai to the kohen. If I buy a goat that is any older, then there is a safek. Okay, then Rabbi said, we already know how to deal with safek. Safek bechor is dealt with ultimately again. We discussed it extensively. You let it graze until it develops a mum, then redeem it. Rachel bas shtayim. So I'll say similarly again, if I buy a sheep, and the sheep is within 2 years old, vadai lekohen, then any birth that it gives birth to is definitely a bechor, and therefore goes to the kohen. Mikan ve'ilech, from this, if I buy a sheep that is older than 2 years old, safek. Then ultimately, you're not sure. It's possible that the sheep did give birth. So again, this is actually very similar. Shmuel says, we simply look at this as a biological thing. We know the birthing patterns of animals. So everything is going to depend on the age that the animal is at the time that you purchased it. If you purchased it at an age where we're quite certain that it did not give birth, so the first birth will be a bechor. If it's already older than that minimum age for birthing, then we have a safek. Para v'chamar. So let's say if you have a cow or a donkey. So benos shalosh. If you buy them within 3 years, vaday lekohen. Then we'll say apparently they don't give birth in the first 3 years. So the first birth ultimately will be a bechor and definitely goes to the kohen. Mikan ve'elich safek. Older than that, it's a safek whether or not it gave birth or not, and therefore it's a safek. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says ilu bivlad bilvad habehema nifteres. 1 second. Is it only a bona fide birth, which ultimately which satisfies the criteria, ultimately, of Bechor? And we'll say, we're going to discuss in the Gemara the exact exchange over here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. What Rabbi Akiva is coming to add is as follows. Sometimes, even if an animal does not give birth to viable offspring, that non-viable birth can still be given the designation as Bechor. Even though, again, of course, that non-viable birth does not live, but what it does do is it exempts the animal that comes after it from being the Bechor. Rabbi Akiva saying over here, ilu bivlad bilvad habehema nifteres, is it only a viable birth, which ultimately, again, exempts the subsequent animals born from being a Bechor? So the Gemara says, so ilu bivlad habehema nifteres kidvaracha, ela amru, Rabbi Akiva says, Chazal taught us, Simon havlad bebehema, daka, tinuf. So it says, and we'll define all of this in the Gemara, but for now, for our purposes now, when it comes to behema daka, so we'll say behema daka is a small animal, even tinuf. Rashi says, mefarish begimara. So we'll say, so tinuf means some type of discharge, as we will see. Sometimes the behema daka just has some type of discharge, which essentially is what? Is a miscarriage. So even again, if the animal has a miscarriage, that could also exempt the animal which comes after it from being the Bechor. Ubegasa, and if it's a behema gasa, shulya. Both a behema gasa, shulya, ultimately again some type of placenta or afterbirth type of item, ultimately again will also satisfy the criteria for birth, thereby exempting what comes after it from Bechor. Ubeisha, and when it comes to a human being, a woman, shafir v'shulya. Both, again, if she miscarries an embryo or a placenta, ultimately, again, that is a bona fide birth. And therefore, that which she gives birth to after that will not have the status of a bechor. Zehaklal. This is the general rule. Kol sheyadua shebichra ein kan lekohen klum. Anytime that we know the animal gave birth to a firstborn, the kohen has no claim to any subsequent birth. V'chol shelo bichra. But anytime the animal ultimately, again, has not given birth to a firstborn, hare zeh lekohen, then the first animal born belongs to the kohen. Vim safek, and if we're not sure, again, if the animal did not give birth, yochal bimumo lebailim. So we'll say any case of safek, we already know how to deal with safek bechor, which is we let the animal graze until it develops a mum, and at that point in time it becomes permitted ultimately for consumption to the owner. So we'll say, so really fascinating idea. Now again, it's not exactly clear from the Mishnah what is the meaning of this exchange between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Are they arguing about something? Is Rabbi Akiva just... So we'll see in the Gemara that exchange. But the point over here, our take home for now, is that Rabbi Shmuel is telling us that Aloch Lamaisi, when you go ahead and you purchase an animal from an Akum, and you're not sure if that animal birthed or not, Aloch Lamaisi, we look at the age of the animal. And based on the age, we're able to tell whether or not the animal has given birth or not. So it says the Gemara, Mikan ve'ilach amai safek. Now, both and I watch this. Says the Gemara as follows. The way Rabbi Shmuel sets it up is like this. Essentially, if you buy an animal, if you buy an animal within the time where it has not given birth, then what? We assume, I should say, if you buy an animal when it's young enough, we assume it has not yet given birth. And therefore, the firstborn animal will be a Bechor property of the Kohen. If you buy an animal older than that age from minimum birth, then what's the halacha? Safek. Safek. That's the general safek. Which means Rabbi said, then when that animal does give birth, we're not sure, is it a Bechor, is it not a Bechor, and we deal with it as we deal with Safek Bechor. So the Gemara asks a fascinating question. Mikan ve'ilach amai safek. So for Rabbi said, just for our purposes, I buy a goat, that's within a year. If it's within a year, I know it didn't give birth. Therefore, again, when it does give birth, halacha l'maisa, that animal has the status of bechor. If I buy a goat older than a year and a half, so we'll say, so now what's the halacha? And it gives birth, safek. Safek. I don't know. Is that the firstborn of the animal, not the firstborn of the animal? So I'm going to ask an interesting question. Mikan ve'ilich, if you go ahead and you purchase an animal that is older than the minimum age for birthing, am I safek? Why is that birth given the status, why is that offspring given the status of a safek bechor? After all, why don't we say halach acharov v'rov halach acharov? Excuse me, halach acharov behemus v'rov behemus misabros v'yoldos besoch shnasaninu v'havadai meilid olid. Why is it a safek? Right? Why is it a safek? Why don't we just say instead that ultimately followed the rov? And I will say, what's the rov? The rov is that most animals give birth within their allotted time, right? In other words, what the Gemara is saying over here is you're treating any time that the animal is older than the minimum age for birthing, you're treating that birth as a suffix. Suffix bechor, suffix not a bechor. Why don't I say that is definitely not a bechor? At the end of the day, rov animals go ahead and give birth. You should follow the rov over here. And therefore, again, ultimately, if I buy, for example, using the goat example, I buy a goat older than a year, and then the goat gives birth, I should say, the pashtos, the rov says that this is not the first birth of this animal, and therefore it should be pata from Bechor. It's a good shayla. To which the Gemara says, Leima, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Meir Sfil. Rabbi says it's amazing. So it must be that what? It must be that Rabbi Shmuel, who is the opinion quoted in the Mishnah, follows Rabbi Meir. What does Rabbi Meir say? We're going to see Rabbi Meir Shita, Dechayesh Lemi'uta. Rabbi Meir ultimately takes into account the Mi'ut. Rabbi Meir says you can't just rely on Rov, but rather again, you must take into account the Mi'ut. So we'll say we're going to see Rabbi Meir's case in just a little bit. Afilu Tim Rabban. So the Gemara says not necessarily. The truth is Rabbi Shmuel Shita could even be in accordance with the Rabbanon. How so? Ki azli basaruba. When did the Rabbanon follow a rove? The ise kamon. I will say this is great. We're not getting into like the halachos of rove. Back to our Hulin days. So when do we follow the halachos of rove? Right? When do we follow the majority? That is, ruba di ise kamon means literally a rove which is in front of us, which means a rove which is objectively discernible. Right? I could see the rove right in front of me. What's the paradigmatic example of the rove right in front of me? Kigon tesha chanuyos v'sanhedrin. So I'll say, so the example will be the case of the nine stores in the center. What's the case? Look at Rashi. Tesha chanuyos kulan bochros basar shchuta. So we'll say this is the paradigmatic case of rove. I have, right, there are 10 stores in town. 10 butcher shops in town. 9 of them sell kosher meat. V'achas mocheres basar nevela. One of them sells non-kosher meat. And what happens? So ultimately, I find a piece of meat in the street. So we'll say, so what's the status of the meat? So kshera. Ultimately, we assume that the meat is kosher. Why? The chol de parish, mi ruba parish. Because we assume that anything that has separated from its place of origin has come from the rove. In this case, the rove is nine kosher stars, one non-kosher star. V'hainu ruba di'isakamon. They both say that's called a rove that is right in front of us. Why is that called the rove right in front of us? Because I see the nine stars. I see the nine stars. So the Gemara, because ultimately the stars are in front of us. Or Sanhedrin. What's the case of Sanhedrin? Kigon shneima sar mezakin ve'chada sar mechayvin zakas. So I'll say if you're dealing with a Sanhedrin cut on 23 judges, and you have 12 who exonerate, right, and 11 who find guilty, that's a ruba di isakaman. That is a majority that is in front of us. And we're suggesting as follows. When do the Rabbanon subscribe to rove? That's when it's a rove that is discernible. But if it's a rove, that's not discernible. I'll say discernible means that I see it. It's sitting there right in front of me. That's not Rabbanon subscribe to rove. But maybe again, if it's a ruba de lesakaman, a rove that I can't see with my eyes, maybe the Rabbanon do not agree with that. Therefore, I'll say maybe even the Rabbanon would say, listen, the truth is, you can't say that rove animals go ahead and give birth once they hit the threshold age for birth, because that's a ruba de lesa kamon. We don't see that. We don't see that. If I don't see it, then I can't ultimately rely on it. So we'll say, so we want, remember again, we're just trying to figure out, Rabbi Shmuel holds like this. If I go ahead and I purchase an animal, and it is older than the minimum birth age, older than the minimum birth age, so Rabbi Shmuel says you have to say that anything it gives birth to once I purchase it is a suffek bachar. To which the Gemara says, well, why is it a suffek bachar? Why don't you say, follow the rove? Rove animals give birth once they hit the minimum birth age, and therefore, Allah Almighty said, the offspring is definitely not a bachar. So the Gemara is giving two possibilities. Either Rabbi Shmuel holds, like Rabbi Meir, who is chayish lemiut, is choshesh lemiut. That's answer number one. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Our second answer is no. Even the Rabbanan who hold of rove, right, only hold of a rove that you could see with your own eyes. But if you can't see the rove, then by definition you can't rely on it. This case in the Mishnah would be a situation where I can't see the rove. So Gemara says, one second. Vaha katan oktana, the ruba de lesa kamon, v'ka'azli Rabbanan basaru. But one second, that's not true. Because there is the case of katan and kitana, which we're going to discuss right now, which is the case of a rove that is not in front of us, that is not the lesse kamon, it's not in front of us. Vika azli rabbana and basaruba. So I'll say a case of katan and kitana is a case of a rove that is not discernible. Yet rabbanan follow the rove. What's that case? Disnan. Katan ukitana. Right? So we'll say if you have a katan and a kitana, a male, right, a boy and a girl. Lo cholzen v'lo miyamim derev mir. Mir says, they can't do chalitza, they can't do yibim. Suppose this is a case where ultimately, again, the brother is married to a girl who is a kitana. Right? The girl's father married her off. He could do that. Brother is married to a girl who is a kitana. Brother passed away without children. What happens is the surviving brother is also a katan. So now you have a case of a katan and a kitana. So ultimately, the Gemara says as follows. Mir says, he have a katan and a kitana. Lo cholzen v'lo miyabmin. Ultimately, again, they cannot do chalitza and they cannot do yibum. Amrulo, so they said, Rabbanan said to Rabbi Meir, Yafa amart. Rabbi Meir, you're saying good. Why? Shein cholzin, number one, he can't do chalitza. Why? Ish kasa b'parsha. Because he can't do chalitza. Why can't he do chalitza? Because ultimately, again, it says ish, right? It says ish, halacha l'maaseh, ish means what? It's only a man, ultimately, who has the ability to do chalitza. And ultimately, again, just like the boy, just like the male, has to be an ish. So has to be an isha. To which the Gemara says, "Matam in miyamin." So why is it ultimately again that you can't do yibum? Amar lahem katan shema yimtza suris, ketana shema timtza ailinus, v'nimtza pogin be'erva. We'll say, what's Rabbi Meir's logic? Rabbi Meir's logic is out of a concern that what the whole point of yibum is to halacha l'maaseh have children. That's the entire point of yibum. What we are concerned is that if it's a katan and ketana who are doing yibum, the issue is the ketana may turn out to be an ailinus, which means a woman fundamentally incapable of having children, and the katan ultimately may turn out to be a sris, who is a man incapable of having children. If either of them are biologically incapable of having children, then ultimately, again, nimtza pogin be'erva. Pogin be'erva means we might be bordering, ultimately, again, on an isra of eshes ach, on an isra, ultimately, again, of marrying your brother's wife. So because of that, Rabbi Meir, so we'll say, this is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, now, again, remember, Arov people, Arov women in Islandis, Arov men of Sris? Of course not. Of course not. But rather, again, this is Rabbi Meir Lishita. So, who is Choshesh ultimately, again, for the Miut. He's Choshesh again, because he's Choshesh for the Miut, ultimately, again, he says we don't do Chalitza or Yibum when they're a Katan or Kitana. We wait till they grow up, till they reach the age of maturity. For Rabbanon, they both say, what did the Rabbanon say? Zil bas Arov Kitanim. Verov kitanim lav srisim ninu. Zil basa rov kitanos, verov kitanos lav islandis ninu. And what did the Rabbanon say? Did Rabbanon say, we go after the rov. No. We're going to Rabbanon, so we let the katan and kitano do yibum. It's very interesting. We let them do yibum, or for that matter, chalitza. Because ultimately, again, we don't follow the miut, rather we follow the rov. And the rov majority of women are not an islandis, and the rov of men are not srisim. Then I will say, now understand, this is fine, but this is problematic for us, because what do we just say? We wanted to suggest that Rabbi Shmuel of the Mishnah could even align himself with the position of the Rabbanon. Why? Because we were positing that even the Rabbanon who hold of rov, only hold of what kind of rov? Aruba de ise kaman, a rov that you can see. But a rov that you can't see, maybe they do not subscribe to. Now I will say, halacha lemaisa, this rov of katan and kitanim, right? Rov kitanim lav srisim. Rov kitanos lo islandis, lo islandios ninu. This is not a ruba de isa, come on. This is not a rov you see in front of you. But remember again, the definition of a rov you see in front of you is a very, very, very specific definition. It means literally, I could see it in front of me. Like the nine stars. Not I could see it in front of me that I see the world and they say the world works. It has to be a clearly discernible and visible rov that is sitting front and center right in front of me. The Teisha Chanuyos, the nine stores. The Sanhedrin that's ruling 12 against 11. Those are cases of rov that I could clearly see it. You see over here that I want to subscribe to the concept of rov, even when it is not a ruba de isa kamon. If that's the case, ultimately, again, that then they do not align with the position of Rabbi Shmuel. Because according to the Rabbanan, therefore, I will say, we would say what? If I go ahead and I purchase an animal from an akum, and that animal is above the minimum birthing age, and then that animal gives birth, according to the Rabbanan, what would we say? What would we say? That animal is definitely not a bechar, right? Why? Because the row of animals have already given birth by the time they get to that age. To which the Gemara says, Ela Rava, Ela Amar Rava, rather Rava says, Rava says, Tap of Chaf, Mechavarat Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Meir Svirale. Rather, it must be that what? That indeed Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Meir. Dechayish the Mi'uta. Okay, I'm saying, we're making life simple. As much as sometimes it's nice to live your life in accordance with everyone, more often than not, you have to just choose a side. So again, it's Rabbi Shmuel. We wanted to try to align Rabbi Shmuel both with Rabbi Bonon and Rabbi Meir. It's not going to work. Rabbi Shmuel is aligning himself with the position of Rabbi Meir. Dechayish limi'uta. Ultimately, again, who is choshesh for the miyot. So we'll say, therefore, Rabbi Shmuel will say like this. When you buy an animal that is above the minimum birthing age, even though, again, rove animals have perhaps given birth already at that time, and therefore I should say that according to the rove, the animal that is born is not a bechar. Rabbi Shmuel says, I hold like Rabbi Meir, who's choshesh lemiut. Miut of animals do not give birth by the time they reach the minimum birthing age, and therefore again, the animal that is subsequently born is a suffek bechar. Ravina says, no. Afilu tamer Rabbanon. Still, we could try to align the position of Rabbi Shmuel like Rabbanon. Why? Ki azli Rabbanon. This is actually very interesting. Basaruba. When did the Rabbanon follow a rov? Beruba. Ki azli Rabbanon basaruba. Beruba delotali b'maisa. It's amazing. Like when do they follow rov? Rabbosai? By a rov that is not dependent on any activity. Avaruba delotali b'maisa. But a rov that is dependent on activity, perhaps the Rabbanon would not hold of rov. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. It's actually very interesting. Tap Rashi on Chaf Amud Aleph. Ruba de Tali b'Maisa kigon ibur habehema de Tali barba v'ikol amechash shema lo ala alea zachar hilchach safe. So we'll say it's actually very interesting. The Gemara wants to suggest maybe the Rabbanon will hold of rov only rely on rov in what we call a naturally occurring rov. Any rov that by definition requires other actions, perhaps the Rabbanan do not rely on that. So for example, the animal becoming pregnant requires additional activity. So perhaps in that kind of case, the Rabbanan don't hold of Rov. When does the Rabbanan hold of Rov? Well, say, so the paradigmatic example would be, let's say, the Yibum case. So what do the Rabbanan say? A Kadan and a Ketana can do Yibum. Why? Why? Because the Rabbanan say, we assume Rov people, right, Rov men are not a Sris, Rove women are not an islandess. That's a naturally occurring rove. But for any rove that by definition requires any other dynamic activity, perhaps the Rabbanan will not hold like that. Okay, so we'll say, so therefore again, what comes out of it is as follows. Here's what we know. We know that there's a sheet of Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel holds that Allah l'maisa, if you buy an animal from an akum within the age before it would normally give birth, therefore again, any animal that is born, firstborn animal, will be a bachar. If you buy an animal older than the minimum birthing age, Rabbi Shmuel holds that ultimately, again, halacha lemaisa, the animal that is subsequently born to that animal you bought will be a safek bachar. Who does Rabbi Shmuel hold like? So apparently two opinions. He certainly holds like Rabbi Meir, who's chayish lemi'ut. Rabbi Meir is choshish for the mi'ut. What the Gemara wants to suggest is it could very well be that he also holds like the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold like Rov. Perhaps the Rabbanan only holds by Rov, by naturally occurring Rov. But any time the Rov only comes about because of some type of dynamic activity, the Rabbanan will not hold of the Rov, and therefore will be in alignment with Rabbi Shmuel. Mostly we'll stop over here for today. The rest of them will pick up on Chacham and Aleph tomorrow.
So instead of on the Maisa,